This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show.
Welcome. Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show. Those are that's Lenny Kravitz, always on the run.
Is that who that is?
Just like my man Red Reddington, apparently.
You see, we pick our songs with a purpose.
That's right. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by my very good friend, Julia Kearley.
Hi.
Hello.
God, you redirect all the time. I never see it coming.
And my main man, Nando Velasquez.
Hello, how are there, everybody? Hello yes. There, everybody. There.
And Joseph right. Flippo.
Sometimes you combine the words, hello out there. Hi, nice to see you guys.
Nice to see you all. Man, Anslo Garrick Part 2.
A.K.A. Dembe Lives.
Dembe Lives.
Who
shots
said that? Who
out.
Said Dembe Lives, guys?
You did.
Who said that?
No.
You
did.
Yes. You know what? I may suck at predictions.
But maybe right not.
Tedley wasn't a prediction because you saw him in clips for the following episode.
True.
It wasn't really a prediction. You saw a clip of him. I didn't see it.
Well, no, she gets credit because we all saw the same clips, and none of us said a damn thing about it. So there.
So meh.
Meh.
But also some folks on YouTube predicted as well, too. So,
oh, wow.
You know, like the tickled lady said that. Tickled tea lady.
Is that right? That's what I always say.
All right.
That's how I call her.
She said she wasn't shot, among others. But anyway, Dembe Lives.
Dembe Lives.
Yes. And I am happy about that.
Yeah. So what about this episode? Fall finale.
Keeps getting better and better.
Fall. Winter finale. Where are we?
Fall.
Fall finale.
Feels fall-y.
It's winter, but it's fall finale.
What season is it?
A little more pertaining to fall. Fall-esque.
I do love the way that, you know, network TV has gotten a hold of this whole getting rid of the reruns thing. Because, you know, back when I was a kid, it was all reruns. They'd like show two episodes.
Things were different then.
Run like five reruns, show two episodes and five
it
reruns.
It was actually a rerun from What's Happening. Yeah, It was all rerun from What's Happening.
Dating yourself. What's Happening? R.I.P. Fred Berry. Play rerun. He's dead.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, but now in the era of the serialized television, we can't have reruns anymore. So they'll just run them all in a row and then they'll have a fall finale, a nice little break. They'll introduce another show and we'll come back in January and keep going. That means we're on a break too.
Oh.
It does.
This is our last show.
This means it's our last
what
show for a little
we do
while.
With
I don't know.
Our Tuesday day.
Forget that. But let's talk about this episode. So we continued right where we left off, obviously, with Dembe in trouble with the prayer. And we see now that gunshot was not, in fact, Dembe, but it was my man, the tech guy.
Ivan?
Aman.
Who actually saved Lizzie. So that was kind of cool. And I will say what's also cool in that preview, speaking of that whole preview thing, it was great because we actually didn't, I was complaining about how there's some spoilers in that thing, and it didn't really give much away. It was actually very cool about, it gave really, after watching the episode, it gave really nothing away.
Yeah.
Except for the fact of Dembe's alive.
Yes.
I don't think it gave that away.
If you had a quick eye.
I didn't see it.
So you have a slow eye, Joe.
I do have a slow eye.
There it is.
It don't work.
Right. So, we learned a lot in this episode. We learned, we finally got to the bottom of, at least kind of to the bottom of what's on the other side. We don't know who, the surveillance, that is, the Apple guy and the whole thing. We don't know who is.
Did we get to the bottom of that?
No,
we just had a discovery from Lizzie about it.
Right. So we got, at least that place is busted up.
Right.
There is no more watching Lizzie and Tom.
Yeah.
You know, but we saw the apple and they panned down and show the apple on the thing. We learned about. But we
also learned that was not just for Lizzie and Tom. That seemed like everybody in that particular group was being surveilled.
Right.
FBI,
exactly.
Yeah. Everybody.
Lizzie.
So you
got to
assume that.
Red.
Everybody in the crew had the same setup in their houses.
Right. By, we presume. Dun, 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 my man, Alan Alda.
But Alan Alda doesn't represent the end of the... He's the representative.
He represents people.
He says, the people I work for. The people you work for, Alan Alda.
Who's higher than Alan Alda?
Who do you work for? Who's this guy? Is it Robert De Niro? Who's this guy?
Can you imagine Robert De Niro?
Al Pacino going to show up?
Al Pacino.
Can you imagine Robert De Niro doing it? He'd be so bored. He'd be so awful.
Billy Jack really? Nicholson.
Yeah, we're doing a thing. We're mad at you.
What
are we doing? Can you just see him on set?
Was that supposed to be a Robert De Niro?
No, just it's him. It was terrible. It was terrible.
Second of all, stop you right there. Are you going down the line that Robert De Niro is beneath this great show, The Blacklist?
No, I'm saying he's going. I don't think he'd do it. Wouldn't he act terrible on set? Have you ever seen him do SNL when he looks bored and he hates it?
Well, he clearly chooses.
He's
to
a
do
man
it.
Of few words.
All right,
we're drifting. My fault.
Way far. But Alan Alda is the guy who's revealed, with a great reveal, and we'll talk more about Alan Alda later. Mm-hmm. But that was a great reveal and the whole thing. But yeah, he's working for someone. Everyone's working for someone. There's no, who's the guy at the top?
The number one blacklister.
Apparently.
Probably number one.
You're right. So, great. This episode was not directed by Joe Carnahan. He only directed part one. But part two was equally as crackerjacky, if you ask me. I really enjoyed it. I like that they had that sort of, I'm not really a big fan of Mr. X, like we got where we thought Demi was shot, but he's really not shot. But it was cool the way they revealed it was very cool. Like, oh, it was actually this. And I'm very happy that they got out of the black site relatively quickly in the episode. I didn't think I wanted to have a whole episode within the box and the whole nine yards. So, which is the previews sort of gave the indication that we'd be in the box a lot longer than we were, but we're out of the box immediately, which is great. And on the road, and we get to see Lizzie continue her sort of badassness and go rogue a little bit, which was also cool.
Honest to goodness, I did hear in my mind Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin saying, I'm going rogue. Like when she was going into the surveillance house, that was literally running in my head, like in the loop.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, she was, she was great. I thought she was great in this one as well. I mean, I love Lizzie.
I've enjoyed Lizzie's arc a little bit. I was thinking about that when she made the discovery in the surveillance house.
Yeah.
Because if you think back when we were having so much trouble with her character and we had to remind ourselves that she was a rookie, it was so hard for her to draw and shoot. And now it's happening without – it's instinct for her now.
Right. And she looks at a computer guy and she's like, come on, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's grown as an FBI agent.
She's grown immensely. Mm-hmm. And then what do we think of – maybe we'll touch on it later, but what do you think of Tom? Tom is dirty.
Tom.
Are we back to Dirty Tom?
I never left Dirty Tom. Tom is dirty. You see him peeking out that window at the end?
Mm-hmm.
A proverbial peeping Tom, if you will.
Creepy.
Which actually wrote that down.
You wrote that down.
Yeah. You right there, see?
He writes all the jokes down.
Peeping Tom, if you will.
If you will. Yeah.
If you will.
That's what I wrote down. No. But that was, he's people. I wondered about that because she leaves Tom immediately to run across the street. And do all that dirt with Mr. Kaplan, who was dope, by the way.
Oh yeah,
Mr. Kaplan was the dopest Mr. Kaplan I've ever seen. And what's Tom doing this whole time?
Well, here's I got a question for you now. What do you guys think? Could you be Tom? Like if Tom was if he's really just a school teacher,
right?
And your wife is like this badass super FBI agent. All of a sudden, you've been with her for a long time, and all of a sudden, boom, she's like this. How do you do that?
Yeah.
Like, and you're confused all the time, and your wife comes home, and she's beat to shit, and you don't know what's going on, and she can't tell you. How do you deal with that? I mean, if he's really a teacher.
Well, this is the thing. I think that, like, this is, like, he tries to seem a little upset and gives the whole speeches, like, you have to quit, let's walk away today, and you
Nebraska.
Can't Lizzie, Nebraska, and, a guy tried to kill me, and then I call you on the phone, and then you're being tortured, what's going on? But, he didn't seem all that upset about it when he got that call from Angelo Garrett.
I have that written down, too. That is not the reaction that I would expect.
Angelo Garrett calls you, like, I'm going to have a gun to your wife's head. Who is this?
It's like, so what? Matter of fact.
But what? How do you act, though?
Yeah, how do you act? I don't know, because I agree. How do you act?
How would you act?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think I could do it.
You want him to cry?
I don't know.
You want to scream out?
A moment of panic.
You want to pull like a Mel Gibson ransom moment or something?
Right?
Like,
yeah. You listen to me. Are you Liam Neeson? I have a very specific set of skills. I can write on a chalkboard.
I don't know if that was a Ryan Edel choice or if that was a Tom Keene character thing, but either way, I didn't like it. I didn't like the Angelo's in the phone, and maybe we have the benefit of knowing what a badass Angelo is, and obviously Tom Keene does it, but he's like, what? Like, you know, your wife is about to die. He's like, what? You know? He's like, put her in the phone. So Lindsay gets in the phone.
Wait, let me talk to her. Valley girl.
What's going on?
Like, what's up? Like,
I don't know.
Hey, I need you to hold, man. I got another call coming through.
I don't know.
Here's my question, though. In all seriousness, I don't know how you approach that. I don't even know where to begin with that. And so none of it seems right because I don't think there is a prescribed answer. I mean, your prescribed answer would be like, quit or I'm leaving. I mean, like, how do you fix this?
Right.
This is a crazy situation. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, so we have all that. We have we find out, first of all, the first big reveal for us is we found out Angelo Garrick is, even though he's number 16 on the blacklist, he's actually working for someone, which is the first kind of reveal, and he's not going to do all those bad things to Red, as we said. Hmm. And then we find out that the someone he's working for is, of course, the great Alan Alda. And we find out that Alan Alda is working for someone. So what the hell?
Everyone's working for someone.
Yeah.
So nice society we have here.
It is.
There's always a man up top. That
sounds like a Bruce Springsteen song. What are those lyrics from The Boss? What is that?
Those of you who can't see, Nando has a bandana tucked in his back pocket. Shaking it right now. No.
Well, let's dive a little deeper here. Like, I don't know. I want to talk a little bit about these characters individually. Let's walk through this episode specifically, right? So, as we've been trying to do. So we know Demi's alive. We find out. And Demi's alive. They get the uplink ready. They have the FBI storm the place. Angelo Garrick slips out the back door with Red.
He dug out, his floor. Yeah. The floor
down
dug
the
through the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And out the train tracks.
Out the train tracks.
Yes.
That no one knew about.
Well... Are you doing it? You're not doing a WTF.
Nope, right? I didn't do it.
Okay.
Although it's, it should be an FBI WTF.
Can I ask one thing real
sure,
fast?
Of course.
Where did Lizzie get shoes?
Hmm?
When did Lizzie put shoes on?
Did she got shoes, didn't she?
When? When did I miss that?
There must. It's
that
implied.
Me
it's,
for
impl-
some
it's implied. It's
really
implied that there's
bothered a. Bothered me. I know that's very minuscule, but they made such a big deal about her taking off the shoes, and now she has cute
little
boots
that,
on.
You know, it feels like
sorry.
That shoeless thing was probably a Joe Carnahan touch, like a nod to Die Hard and. Maybe this episode, there's a continuity.
Maybe there's a scene that they cut where she's
I'm going to take you to get killed right
feet.
Now, but let's get your shoes on
go
first.
To my locker
yeah, let's
go
to your locker
room
first.
Well, they opened everything up, so maybe she got her shoes back out of the elevator where she took them off.
These are the important questions we're asking.
It was an important question.
You're welcome, America.
Sorry, I had to say it.
No, okay. I like that. I like that. And us guys, we didn't even notice that.
Right.
We never notice. It's always the girls
a
that notice the shoes.
Always notices the wardrobe changes.
You know, I do want to say, the thing I will say is I want to give shots, like real shots out to my man, agent Harold Cooper. Because I think Cooper was kind of a badass these last two episodes. I finally got to see Cooper do his thing. He showed up.
Yeah.
He was very cool in Angelo Garrick Part 1. But in this one, he was a badass. He, called that dude a coward to his face with a gun, to his head. He had a gun to his head multiple times in these two episodes and didn't really flinch at all, which I liked. I thought, Harold's a real deal. He's not some empty suit. He's the real deal. And when they're under attack, he's really in command, tactical command mode. Once a wrestler in a cool move shoots that guy, he immediately took control of the situation and got in and seemed to be on the ball. I like the idea that he's not... I feel like these first, I don't know, eight episodes, he's a bit of an empty suit, just spouting out lines, but now I get to see that this guy is someone, and he's a reason why he's assistant director, special director, Harold Cooper. I don't know, that's me. Did you like Lennox in this?
I will never like Lennox, but that's just me.
Oh!
That won't happen.
Oh!
It's never going to happen, but I thought in this episode, I think you're right, he came along.
Oh, no.
I just don't like him.
Okay.
I don't have to.
All right, it's fine.
It's not required.
Is it because he's a Yale-trained theater actor?
That's why. I've said for years, I hate Yale trained theater actors.
Okay. All right, well, fair enough. Well, I liked him in this episode. Actually, and also blowing the shots to Dembe. I'm glad that Dembe A is alive and B got to do stuff because he jumped into action as a badass.
He ran down the train tracks
like Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon. Like,
Dembe!
He was like, God,
I've got this.
and he did his job and tracked him down and got that hit squad together, that crazy. mercenary hit
squad. That was a ton of people.
Red does not play, man. Red's got a crew.
He's got a crew. He's got that one dude who looks like Sam Elliott.
Yeah,
with the
ponytail. Oh yeah, absolutely.
A young Sam Elliott, like leading the crew.
Best.
I'm thinking Roadhouse.
That's like Sam Elliott's younger, more badass brother.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if there's someone more badass than Sam Elliott,
is there?
So that was cool. And then what about again? We're jumping back to it, but what about? You know, Mr. Kaplan. Like, Mr. Kaplan's the one who actually helped put that crew together as well. So I don't know if it's a Dembe or Mr. Kaplan, but Red's got some people that are beyond Gray. And where is Gray, by the way? I thought Gray would be the one who'd be in the Mr. Kaplan mode.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be kind of cool. I wish it was, like, call Gray, and Gray showed up and did the Mr. Kaplan stuff. I'm sorry, Charles Baker. I wish that was you. our good friend Skinny Pete Charles Baker.
You would have been great at it. Mm. So, I feel like Mr. Kaplan, this was her job. Mm-hmm. If things go to shit, you call her.
Right.
And she cleans it all up.
She was definitely you get the sense that Red had this plan in motion already. Like, if shit goes bad, you call this number, you know what to do, keep her safe, Dembe does this. I love all that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
that was great. So now we have back on the scene is Fowler, Jane Alexander, the old Attorney General lady. Mm-hmm. Is that who she is? Is she Attorney General?
No.
What's her title?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, she's Diane Fowler, is all I know.
Yep.
And she comes back on the scene and seems to, first of all, decommissions the team and then puts the team back in action and makes Red the number one blacklister. And it's kind of a cool way to start to end this first 11. I mean, before we talk about individual characters, how are we feeling here at the halfway point? I mean, that's 11 strong episodes. We had some rocky moments along the way. We had some weird things where we were trying to figure out story, but I don't know, it's all said and done. I don't know. That's a pretty cool 11.
I think it's a great reset, personally. I mean, you looked at it and we kind of went, okay, well, where do we go from here? And they kind of, they because you can't have the whole series with Red just kind of being too cool for school, and they fix that. And you can't have the whole series where he's in bed with the FBI that clear, right. And they just fix that. And you've got I think they really gave themselves a great reset. They've got so many more options. As writers, they can go any direction they want now. They've opened up the playing field dramatically.
A great job for cleaning up and getting this a little better. What do you think, Nando?
Oh, I think it's a very badass way to end 11 episodes. And again, now Red is on the run, or he's actually somewhere else, who knows where, watching over Lizzie.
Right.
This is a little bit of a change in status quo right now.
Right.
Which is great. And still a lot of questions. Some questions got answered. I mean, it's nice to know that the surveillance thing got handled,
right.
That we know about that. But we obviously know that still everybody involved is possibly in danger from whoever this adversary is, because Red's, been with the FBI right now. So I love to see where it's going. It's a lot of question marks there.
The other thing I love about this whole thing with Alan Alda is you really got a sense that there was a much bigger business interest that was paying attention to what Red Reddington was doing and was disturbed by it, which to me gave the show a ton of credibility, because it really was it really broke down to a question of do we need this guy? How much do we need this guy? How much are we willing to tolerate? It really felt like the adults were in the room. It really
Alda also alluded to the fact that Red has something on them. Like, whatever, if Red dies,
right.
The thing that Red has, whatever it is, the nuclear code, I mean, God knows what he has, could disrupt everything. And we've always alluded to this sort of, corporate espionage and corporate terrorism. And mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? I mean, this is, Red seems to be a guy who's capable of toppling governments, as Gray alluded to when Gray said we could have, the power we could. But it was the line that Gray said once. He said,
we could have brought the world to
its knees.
Crumble, we can make the world crumble.
What's your review of this crumble. First 11, Julia?
As we all know, I had a little rocky start with this show. I was sort of in and out in the beginning. But I feel like at the end of this 11, they've ironed out a lot of the wrinkles that I thought were major issues. And they've also done a great job of fleshing out these characters a little bit more, which makes me, therefore, much more invested.
Right.
And I think it moves the story along in not just these big physical ways, but emotionally as well.
Right.
So I'm totally down. I totally dig in Blacklist.
Yes, so Blacklist is awesome. We all agree. And also, my girl Vanilla Cupcake pointed out, which I noticed as well, that we have a stabbed into the neck.
Oh, yes. You don't think I have a note about that? You don't think that, guys?
I mean,
every episode I do, I make a note. I'm waiting for it.
It's something that's happening that they're doing, and I like it. I like it. Vanilla Cupcake likes it. I like it. We all like it. Let's continue with
I live for it.
The laugh. Julia Keeley lives for a stabbing, for a good it. Stabbing to the neck. That should be your
it's all slogan. Worthwhile.
that's
my payoff every episode. Whoo, there it is.
Well, we're gonna get into talk about these characters specifically, but and we do have coming up very soon here, shortly actually. We have Annalisa who runs the Blacklist fan site on Facebook and Twitter. So we're gonna talk to her and get her thoughts on this episode as well. But before that, we want to thank you all for joining us on iTunes as always. Man, you guys have really, really, really showed up on iTunes. We really appreciate you. You're downloading us. The show is growing. The numbers are growing. You guys are reviewing and rating us and giving us fives, which we really, really appreciate because, Joe...
We love fives.
That's right. And so thank you for all of your support. And if you're listening to us via iTunes right now, thank you. Also, our YouTube numbers are growing considerably as well. And we thank you for our very loyal group of YouTube followers that comment all the time and follow and talk to us. And we'll shout you guys all out later. And on Twitter as well. So we really appreciate you. And please keep it up. Keep rating us and keep, talking about the show. And we'll come back next in January with more great shows, hopefully. Not hopefully, definitely. So moving on. Before we get to our Facebook woman, I want to talk a little about Lizzie's character. And I want you to do that for me, Julia. I'm going to ask you about Lizzie. Like, it seemed that what have we learned about Lizzie? Not only this episode, but, give me your – I want to do this a little differently. Give me your, 11-episode sort of take on Lizzie. Start with this episode. Like, what have you learned?
Well, like I said earlier, which I guess I should have waited.
No, it's okay.
But I am really impressed with the FBI agent that she has become and how she's growing in that respect, because that was driving me just absolutely nuts.
Yeah. You can't be a rookie forever.
Right. And there has to be that moment where you finally get to take the training wheels off and happens.
That's right.
So I'm really liking that. I'm just loving her badassness. I think that she's really coming into her own as not just an FBI agent, but as a fully fleshed out character.
Yep.
What else? She's had these great emotional moments that I sort of long for in each episode, and we got that at the very end of this episode where she's talking to Red on the phone, and she's looking at the burned bunny, looking at that scar. I've been waiting for them to reference that scar. Yeah. So I think the next 11 episodes, we're going to find out a lot more. There'll be a lot more revelations about what happened in her past.
Well, speaking of revelations, we had her ask a very important question to Red, which is a question that we've all been asking and fighting over, that Joe's rolling his eyes because he seems to know the answer to, because he's
Joe. That's Joe.
But she asked him directly, are you my father?
Which I thought, oh, thank God, just ask him. Somebody just ask him.
Right. And he says
he
no.
He thought long and hard about it, but he said
you know,
no. Okay.
You know what he did? Time out. No. Julia, ask me if I'm your father.
Nando, are you my father?
No, not nope. Your father.
Yeah.
Wait. Would you believe I'm your father? Just based on that.
Hold on. You have to add two. You have to add two start stops because there were
yeah, exactly. I
mean,
no.
What do you
no.
mean my father, exactly?
I'm like, come
no.
on.
No, but the I mean, come thing on. Is, Red doesn't lie to her.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Yeah, he's not lying to her. So he's not her father. Maybe right, you know what? Maybe he's not his father now, but he was her father.
Quick poll. Joe Brad.
Father, yes or no?
No.
Father, yes or no, Flippo?
Yes.
Father, yes or no, Nando?
Yes.
Father, yes or no, Joe?
No.
Half the people are wrong. Half the people are wrong here.
We got an actual answer, and how is this house still divided, guys?
I don't
Hold on, wait. Serafini, yes or no?
How do you define father?
Oh, it's Steve.
Steve Lemieux.
Is that Lemieux in there? How do you
that
define is. Father?
How do you define father? You know, because, the person who raises the kid could be considered the father.
Yeah, your biological father. Yes or no, Lemieux?
No.
See? That's all right. A tiebreaker.
Now the whole show's wrong.
I'm saying Red Reddington is not the father. Ray, whatever his last name is, Ray's the father, or whatever he called himself back in the
so
day.
So you're saying it's a Star
it's
Wars
a play
thing.
On words.
It's
a play
Anakin
on words.
Skywalker, but not Darth Vader. Is that
yes,
what
exactly.
Okay, I got you. All right, okay.
Sweet your father Lord. Killed Obi-Wan Kenobi or whatever. Yeah.
From a certain point of view. All right, gotcha. Okay.
So we have that, is it the teddy bear? Like, are we getting, like, I still don't know the significance of the burnt teddy bear. This is something that happened in her childhood.
Well, it's bringing something.
It's from the fire.
The fire right. in her childhood with the melty dolls.
It has to probably do with the scar.
Like, the little girl's hand holding the bunny, which doesn't necessarily mean it was her.
Right.
She could have been witnessing it.
Right.
That could have been Red's daughter.
Could have been a sleepover. Is that what we're suggesting? It's a sleepover?
Maybe they were besties. Let's
I rolled them hard. They're rolled.
Well, let's transition over slightly over to Alan Alda, who was.
Let's talk about him.
Let's talk about Alan Alda.
I could talk about him all day.
He was great. He had a great reveal, you know, out of the shadows, as you want him to come. A great reveal. Actually, when you hear his voice was awesome.
He embodies that idea, at least that I have anyway, of like that shadowy corporate guy who's probably connected to some government agency too, who's really interested in keeping business as usual going. He's not ever going to get his hands dirty. And he really represents the guys who are really in charge. And that's why I said earlier, like, the adults are in the room. I love that.
Right.
Mm. And, you know, that he hired the Apple guy. He had surveillance on a whole bunch of members of the team, not just Liz. He had an inside guy on the team. You know, he was probably connected at some point to the government because he knew about the decommissioned black sites. I mean, these guys are into everything.
Yep.
And he's talking about, I've known you for 20 years. I've always liked you, Red. And it's like that very clear threat that's underneath that, too. But I don't know. I'm not sure how much I need you anymore. I loved it because it felt, some of these villains have been Bond villains, and this doesn't feel like a Bond villain. This feels like a modern-day corporate guy who's in charge of stuff, and it's gray. Everything's going to be gray.
It's about corporate terrorism, and who are the biggest terrorists out there for corporate terrorism? It's the white-collar people.
Absolutely.
It's the lawyers, it's the CEOs.
Can I ask this? Are we sure that Alan Alda and his company are the ones who set up the surveillance with the Apple guy? Because they didn't seem to know much about Lizzie, otherwise they would have pulled that card a long time ago.
That's an excellent point. Which is what I was going to say. I mean, first of all, just to your point, Joe, but who better to lend credibility to ground this whole thing? You have these sort of cartoonish Bond, you know, villains, but who better?
Yeah.
If you're going to, like, search the universe for someone to add credibility to your situation,
100%.
It's two people, Alan Alda or Martin Sheen.
Yeah, it's true.
That's right. Martin Sheen was not available, so we got Alan Alda.
I think he's a better choice for this than Martin Sheen would have been.
I mean, James Cromwell's another one, but, like, you know, he's on ABC. But, yeah, so, like, and I loved how, you know, how are we? When you first heard his voice, it was like, oh, there he is. He comes out of the shadows we talked about, and he says to him, hello, Ray. Not Reddington, not Red, not Raymond, but Ray. I think that's cool. Like, it makes us know the sort of the intimacy, how these guys know each other. Like, Ray. Who calls Red Reddington Ray?
Didn't it feel like he was like an old boss or an old mentor? Didn't the whole feel was like, had that sense that Ray worked for him at some point, and Ray was like his pet name for him.
Maybe Alan Alda used to work for the U.S. government as well.
I bet it's a combination.
Right. I don't know.
You don't know about that one?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I was trying to find our guest, Annalisa. Steve, we have a guest calling in. I believe so. So I don't know if she's able to call in or not, but just want to be on the lookout for her if you can. I forgot to tell you.
All right. Well, now we have our call-in service on.
There we go. Well, we told Marissa Serafini, and I thought Marissa Serafini was in there, but it wasn't you.
We had a producer tag out.
Well, so, if she calls in now,
we got it.
We're good.
Okay.
All right. I just told her to try now via text. That's the business we're taking care of on the air that people care about on iTunes, I know.
This is stuff behind-the-scenes stuff.
That's happening real time.
Yeah.
So Alan, he calls him Red. He seems like he's a mentor. He hasn't seen him for 2 decades, which is cool. And I love the way he kind of lets Red know. Oh, this is sort of resets Red. Uh-oh, she's here. Sort of resets Red in a way that that is cool, because we know Red is a super cool guy who seems to have everything under control at all times. But now he's saying, like, we could have killed you at any given moment over the last 2 decades. Not over the last 10 minutes, but the last 10, 20 years, we could have just dropped you, but we kept you alive.
Could have killed you in the park this afternoon.
Yeah, but we chose to get you out of a super secret FBI black site, high secret black site, just to let you know that your new friends you're cozying up to, they ain't going to help you, buddy. You know, so I don't know.
I mean, just we did that this because scary. We wanted to remind you that we can, is essentially the deal.
Who the F are these guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget who we are.
And are they blacklisters? Are they number one on the blacklist? Could they be? I mean, could it be, you know, are they above the blacklist?
I think that the what's interesting about the show is that we're really, I mean, it seems like they're kind of ballsy to me. They're exploring the idea that really, that corporate government So, you know, you've got all these former special forces guys that are looking for a paycheck, and so you've got this overlapping different organizations, some of which are funded by the government, others are private, but they're basically the same people controlling all of it, right. And they're using it, and it makes the whole mess very gray, very mushy, and there's no clear right or wrong. I mean, no. We're following an international criminal. Our hero is an international criminal.
Yeah.
And we're following him and going, wow, he got kidnapped by another international criminal who's probably tied into our government, who's probably tied into a corporation that we all buy shit from every day.
It's a riddle wrapped inside of Enigma, wrapped inside of a question.
Well, I think what's ballsy about it is that it's on network and it's getting into all this stuff,
well, you know,
which is funded by the corporate guys.
It's raising the stakes of, and I see what you're doing there. You're right. It does seem like an art imitating life, eating itself and rolling itself in a ball, eating itself again. But I do like that, you know, we're sort of raising the stakes on this whole anti-hero thing that happened in this golden age of television, with Tony Soprano to
Don Draper.
Don Draper to why am I jumping blank?
Rerun.
Breaking Bad. To Rerun.
Rerun, actually.
Ultimate anti-hero. Well, on that note, we're joined right now by the lovely Anna Lisa.
Walter White, by the way. Walter White.
Hi,
Anna Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're fantastic. Thank you for joining us. Annalisa runs the Blacklist fan site on Facebook and also the great Twitter page as well. And also she puts up her own YouTube videos, her and her colleagues do, about the Blacklist. And I just wanted to, say thank you for doing that, because all the more people knowing about and talking about and sharing the Blacklist is great. And we wanted to have you on. But more importantly, we just wanted to ask you one question. Is Red Reddington Lizzie Keene's father? Yes or no?
That is a big question that we constantly get every week. Like, regardless, if people start suspecting there's no possible way, that always ends up being, no, we really wish that they kind of do have a connection with each other.
But what do you think?
So,
I need your answer, Annalisa.
Gun to your head.
Say it. Come on.
Spit it out.
I personally, I don't think... Red's
team's
dad.
Well, you're wrong.
Because, like, I support your decision.
You're all welcome to be wrong. Everyone here is welcome to be wrong, except for Joe and I.
What happened is I had her call in just so she can.
Wait, okay. Wait, let me ask you. Let me ask you a question, Annalisa.
Luisa. Is it Anna Luisa? Or Annalisa? Huh? Is it Anna Luisa?
You can call me Anna. It's fine.
Anna. Okay. Anna.
Easy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Aggregate. Now you're on Facebook. You're the Facebook fan page. Aggregate. What do you think? What do you think of the fans? What do you think the fans' point of view is overall? What are we looking? Are we looking at 60-40? Are we looking at 70-30? What's the percentage of people saying he's definitely Liz's father?
Joe's really hanging on to this. I
would have to definitely say at least 60-70% really want Red to be Keene's dad, but at the same time they don't want the episode to go like Star Wars, like, oh, that's your father. Yeah. Like, end the episode
because that
way.
Be
they kind of want
to
leave it more suspenseful.
So you're saying 60 to 70% believe that he's her father, but they want it drawn out and explained in a better way than Star Wars did.
What Joe's really saying is 60 to 70% believe he's right.
That's basically what he's saying.
That's all he cares about.
So let me tell you. So you run the fan book site, and let's talk about would you give me a little bit of the overall sort of fan reaction to this first 11? I mean, has it been all positive? Has it been all? I mean, is this sort of an echo chamber of people who love the show? Has it been some people that are critical? What's been the discussion in the fan page?
Well, the majority of them is just people who just generally enjoy the show, like they're really liking it, and we have people from like Argentina and like Korea that they talk about the show. They're like, it's not playing in their countries yet, but they do get the trailers and they watch them online, so everyone basically just loves the show, and just their opinions about it is just like most of them say that there could be a potential relationship between Keene and wrestler, like many people start hoping that. Or just like the relationship between Red and Keene, and this is Cooper like a topic of to be like suspect or something like that. So it's all interesting, and they all kind of relate to each of the episodes that are coming along. And especially in January, everyone already started like predicting what's going to be like the first couple of episodes.
Sure. Well, and to that point, I just want to ask. So you guys have actually do what we do, which is you have a group there, and you screen every episode privately, and you screen them together, and then you take your notes, and then you do your due diligence on the Facebook page, and you put up a YouTube site, and a video, and everything else. For you personally, this first 11 episodes, how do you, Anna, feel about these first 11? I mean, you know, you came into this like we did, kind of cold with some hopes of this may be a good show. And is it meet your expectations, exceed your expectations? How do you feel?
Like, I think by episode 5, I think the show started getting really good. The first couple of, like, the first 4 episodes were kind of just introducing the show. But I think from 5 to 10, part 1 and 2, I think that the show really started picking up. And the conversation started getting more on the characters rather than just, like, either making fun of, like, the CG of the show or just something. But, the show definitely picked up a lot, and the episodes are definitely more interesting. And they're introducing more storylines from, like, Wrestler and Malik and all that. So many people just, and, like, even us as a group, like, we're impressed how the show, just in 10 episodes, are just, like, changing the whole spectrum of, from the very first episode.
Sure, great.
What's the social media presence been like in regards to this show? I know that you run the Facebook fan page. I know you're all over Twitter. What's it been like?
Aggregate, not just with you guys, but monitor everything.
Well, it's been fascinating. Like, many people, like, at first when we started the site, it's like we didn't expect that we were going to get, like, such a good outcome. But then later, just talking to the people, like, everyone just started appreciating the fact that it's a site not like the official site. You go to, like, NBC site, and it's kind of, like, dry. Like, the comments they have about the show is kind of, like, the default stuff that they would talk about the show just to get followers. And then as we talk more about the show, people start actually talking to us, and we crack jokes and everything. So it's just everyone just starts, like, it's a site where everyone just can talk about the show naturally, and everyone just, like, adds on to people's comments and everything. And it's just a very diverse group of people.
Good. Well, listen, we want to, I just wanted to get you in and get your opinion, but before I let you go, and I want obviously give you, I want you to give your, give this Facebook the handle, the tight, the URL is what I'm trying to say, but I do want to get your prediction. I want to get your sort of your, January premiere prediction as to what you think is going to happen.
Okay. I think that Tom could definitely be a target for being, like, the mole of the group. Like, just after talking to Red when they were in the coffee shop or outside in the coffee, I think that really brought the whole focus on Tom's probably going to do something.
Right. I agree. So Tom, you think Tom is going to be, is the mole and is as bad as Red says he is. I agree with
you on
that.
Yeah. Okay, it's definitely Tom or Cooper. Like, they're both very suspicious these last episodes.
Ooh, Cooper.
Well, we did have that thing with Cooper when that Red's looking like Kuwait. That was it, or Beirut or whatever it was.
Yeah,
it was something.
Yeah, like they have a past. They definitely have a past, and I think even Cooper's bosses may be in cahoots with, like, Mr. Finch and stuff. So it could all just be connected.
Mm. It's all connected.
Well, all cahooting.
Well, thank you, Anna, for joining us. Why don't you tell everyone where we can find you on the Twitter and on the Facebook?
Okay, so the Twitter is fansblacklist@twitter.com, and then it's fansblacklist@facebook.
Great. Well, check it out and check out the site, and it's cool. They got some cool stuff, and they put up new stuff every day, and we appreciate it and appreciate you being out there and listening, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. That's it.
Bye.
That was Anna Luisa.
Anna.
Cool. Yeah. So, awesome. No, that was it. That was just saying goodbye. You can stay on the line if you want, but we're going to continue on and talk about the Blacklist but you're more than welcome to stay on.
Okay.
What was I going to say? Oh, so can we talk about Red in this episode? I just want to get into Red, because we've learned, so much about, like, Red and his vulnerability and his motives. Or do we know less about Red than we know to start? Do we know more about Red? Like, what do we learn about Red, Nando?
What do we learn about Red?
No. I mean, 11 episodes in, what do we know about this guy?
I mean, the big thing about him, I think, is that, pretty much what we heard from the conversation with Alan Alda. Mm-hmm. So we definitely know that this has been going on for 20 years. Do we have a timeline as to when he defected?
by the way?
I'm sure we do.
That was part of your protections? Because I feel like, yeah, I feel like that's why I feel like Alan Alda might have been actually working on the other side for a while.
They might have listed it in the pilot. When
I believe
it. I don't know.
He said he's been on the run for
Anna, are you still there?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how long Red's been on the run?
Well, when he talked to Finch, I think they said 20 years, but they don't really, like, specify anything.
Huh. Before that.
When he left the FBI.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he left the FBI.
I think 20 years is...
Okay. Yeah, I think it's 20
years. About right. Okay.
I think they threw that in there for a very specific reason.
I feel like there's a reason why. Yeah, exactly. I feel like there's a reason why for that. So I definitely think we have to fine-tune that speech and just, like, pull out all the nuggets from that little speech, because that definitely says a lot about as to, you know, and again, this is not a simple revenge case. It doesn't feel like a simple revenge case because Red, we know, has something on what we're assuming is the adversary. We're assuming that Finch is working for the adversary that he refers to. So this is more than just revenge. This is, there's definitely, it's a very complicated chess piece. And, I'd say there's still a lot more questions that need to be answered right now. But it's definitely, what I like about it is that it's not clean cut.
No.
Well, like I said earlier, I really enjoy that we're getting to a place where, like I said, it's not a Bond villain thing. It's not, you know, I'll blow this up unless you give me $1 million, you know, and it's not like that. These are, I think it's a lot of corporate criminals going on. I think that I think that's what Alan Alda represents is that combination of corporate and government, which makes it so much more interesting. And obviously when he comes in, he's so well placed. We said that already. But I think it puts Red in a different perspective also, because here's a guy who's comfortable playing with petty criminals, comfortable playing with mid-level guys, and here are the big, big, big boys. And he's obviously not as big as they are. Like, Red's a big guy, but he's not as big as whoever Alan Alda represents.
You know, Spader did such a great job of acting without saying anything, and really sort of watching his face. And he was not did not seem scared or at all by Ansel Garrick, who's a scary dude. By the way, we should talk about how he dispatched of Ansel Garrick, which was kind of cool.
Whatever finger thingy, finger knife, spike thingy dingy he had.
Don't f with Red Reddington. Don't talk bad about Lizzie. That's the lesson I learned.
Don't threaten her.
Don't threaten Lizzie. You had to
because
make it out.
She's a friend of a buddy's daughter. What are you talking about?
it's true. Anyway.
People all run up the flagpole. He'll do anything for Lizzie, who's, you know, a kid who grew up the street. Yeah. He really likes her.
You know what? That's all right. So, listen. He has a debt to repay.
Yeah, he slept with that with Lou. What was her name? Lou? Was that the one that they blew her face off?
Yeah.
Yeah, slept with her for a long time. She worked with him for years. Just saying. Just saying.
Your point is poorly made.
Listen, red mist.
Do we get a look on Red's face when he's having the interaction with Alan Alda? Because I'm just curious to know if we noticed that, if he played that as concerned or, you know, because he's always so cool. You know, like Ansel said, no smug quips this time. But he's always so cool and calm. And I know he was all effed up over the pain drugs they gave him. But how did he react to Alan Alda? Did I notice?
Well, I felt like he was trying to make it as clear as he could without you know, giving in to whatever it was he was fighting that urge to obviously respond to all the stimuli that he was feeling, because that's what that drug they gave him is supposed to do.
Yeah.
I got the impression, I'm not out to get you. This is not what you think it is.
Right.
You're approaching this wrong. But I think that's, you know, you want my opinion. I think that's more about Lizzie than about him. But all bets are off with Lizzie. Like, here's a guy who made 20 years of great decisions. Never got caught, never got himself in trouble, made an incredible amount of money, made a name for himself in a huge business, and made, really is an international, can't be caught, can't be touched,
He can have all the money he wants, all the weapons he wants, all the power he wants.
But all that's out the window now, all bets are off because he's found, there's this person that he has dedicated himself to protecting.
Well, this makes me ask the question, are we asking the right questions? Meaning, like, I think you hit on it. Like, Alan Alda is maybe not be the super blacklister. Alan Alda may not be the one who's surveilling the house. I mean, it seems to be there's two separate agendas here. Alan Alda is the guy who just showed up because he got scared that Red Reddington was talking to the FBI and doing whatever he's doing.
Alan Alda is the guy who has a secret that he has to keep.
Right.
That's what it is.
And
Red is keeping this secret. But for some reason, if Red winds up dead, the secret will be out.
Right.
So it won't be silenced with him.
But what I'm saying is that does not necessarily, in fact, I'm certain it doesn't have anything to do with Red's agenda, no. with Lizzie and Tom and whatever else, the blacklist, and whatever Red's doing at the FBI with the blacklisters and this whole thing.
Well, that's the thing.
He even said that. I don't think it
has anything to do necessarily with what Alan Alda and his boss are worried about, right?
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, that's what we're saying. All bets are off. So, I mean, here's a guy who operated for 20 years in a very predictable way from Alan Alda's point of view and his crew. Like, they knew that Red Reddington was going to behave in a certain set way because right. he was motivated by the same thing they're motivated by, money and power, right?
Right.
So all of a sudden, Red Reddington is off the reservation. He's in bed with the FBI. Why the hell is he in bed with the FBI? He didn't need them,
right?
He's operated for 20 years without them. All of a sudden, he's in bed with them. If I'm doing business with you, and I've done business with you for 20 years, and all of a sudden, money is no longer what motivates you, and all of a sudden, it's all bets are off, right? I can't control and it's an outcome you can't control.
Right.
And so from Alan Alda's point of view, of course we got to get to the bottom of it, because we got a ton of money riding on this.
Right.
And we got to figure out what's happening.
Well, this brings us back to the question that we've been asking from the very, very first episode is why now?
Yeah.
Why has Red come to the FBI
yes.
now? Why is this happening now, specifically, just when Lizzie gets out of
Quantico?
Out of
Do you
Quantico?
Think we'll get the answers to this in season one, in this last 11, or do you think this will something that'll carry on from season to season?
I wouldn't give you the answers this season.
I would like to have the answers given to this season and then have them figure out what to do for next season.
If we haven't learned anything from the Blacklist, the one thing we have learned is that they will answer one question, but then open 26
it's
more.
It's the Lost
up.
Playbook. So, I mean, like, 11 episodes, and I don't know shit.
Just like, are you my dad? No.
I don't know
we
nothing
We learned the
about
answer
nothing.
To that question.
You did not learn the answer to that question.
Well, before we get into news and predictions, we should talk about two things, and they may be one and the same, which is Agent Wrestler and the Songbird, the Mole, the Mole Molmo, the Guacamole.
The Mole.
The Guacamole.
Who is the Guacamole?
I have two ideas,
but before we say what those ideas are, which are the obvious ideas, I want to know, what's up with my girl Mira Malik, my CIA agent? She's awful quiet up in
this
mug.
She's been sidelined.
I mean, she's like...
She's idea number one for me.
She's got to be the Mole.
Usually they hide them.
I got all my money. All my money's on Mira.
She's kind of the reason that Anslo got in the first place with her intel.
Yes.
You think she didn't know that intel was bogus intel, but she had the whole FBI convinced of it.
She's the only outsider. She's a CIA person brought in by our girl.
She's not even American. She's British.
And she's British right there.
Come on,
Ando.
Nuff said. Mic drop. Good night, Wisconsin.
I'm just going to put all me and you, Julie. Are we together on this one?
She is my number one idea of it, but I have a number two, a possibility, sort of wild card about
it. I'll let you say who that is.
Okay.
But just say who it is first. Go ahead. Who's your number two?
Wrestler.
Wrestler's number two. Okay.
Because Wrestler is a man pissed.
Yeah, he's pissed. He's pissed at Red.
He ruined his life.
He wants to get Red at all costs. But and then the dark horse is, no pun intended, is Harry Lennox, right?
Right.
Or Harry Cooper. Harold Cooper.
Harold Cooper.
Right. Is a dark horse. Now all that being said, we didn't even talk about Wrestler's little girlfriend, Wrestler's
Audrey.
Boo.
Oh, yeah. She's engaged. That's so sad. But that was the most human I've seen Wrestler.
I know. But it begs the question, is there anyone less trustworthy than Wrestler's Boo? Showing up at the last minute. I don't trust her at all, really. What is she there for? Oh, come on.
She's there to make him human. That is the whole purpose of her.
Oh.
She's there to show that he never changes emergency contact over at the FBI.
How did you find me?
I think she's just straight a device for the writers to make Wrestlers suck less.
Okay.
Let's make him empathetic for
guys,
a minute.
Maybe Red called her in.
No vision whatsoever.
So you're saying that this girl serves a dual purpose.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's one purpose is to be a bad guy.
She's a bad girl.
Bad girl, 100%.
100%.
I'm locking that down.
Maybe Red called her in because Red said he knew about her.
Right.
And then Wrestler confessed to them in their box of how you know, I was engaged to her, but I was really like married to you in essence. And so you ruined my life. So maybe Red feels bad about that.
Okay. Nanda, what do you think of her?
I think that she knows Red.
For sure.
I think that she definitely, we're seeing her now because she's going to be more relevant in the next, in the back half of this season, and that there is a connection with her in Red. Absolutely.
She ain't no good.
Yeah.
She ain't no good, huh?
Ain't no good.
All right, then.
I don't know. She's too friendly. Wrestler was too smiley. Like, we're not going to let that happen.
All right, all right.
Anyway, so our just to confirm this, our around the table predictions of the mole. Number one, what do you got?
Malik.
I'm going to have to back that.
Oh,
he agrees with me.
And me, which is even more surprising.
Just because she's British.
I kind of think it's Malik, too. I'm really holding strong on Cooper, though, but I'm going to say Malik.
All right, I think it's Malik, too, so that's that. Okay, well, we're all in agreement there.
Okay.
All right, so that was a great episode. We will be back in the fall for that. That's great, but...
January 13th, yeah?
January 13th will be the date. Yes, it is.
Oh, that's right near my birthday.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh,
right. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday ahead of time.
How old are you going to be?
29.
Excellent.
My birthday's not too far after that.
Oh, then that makes you 30, right?
No, it makes you 28.
I'm 28.
When you're
in
you.
Let's we have news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Ratings, Nando.
Ratings. Blacklist delivered once again for the fall finale. 12.3 million viewers.
Yes.
And a 3.5 rating among adults. So, yes, NBC is very, very happy with this. This is their biggest hit in a long, long time.
Much needed hit for NBC.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
And the ratings are great, and for the first 11, you know, most cable episodes only get like a 13 episode run.
Yeah.
So this is also sort of backs the play of the network still doing the 22 episodes because they should shrink those down.
Again, yeah.
Especially for serialized shows because it's hard to keep interest of a serialized show over 22 episodes, but we're doing it. They've done it.
Yeah. I think the real case is going to be in January when it's not going to have the voice lead in.
That's the real question.
Yeah.
That's going to possibly be the one question. It's being, its lead in is going to be American Ninja Warrior, which is still a fun show.
Huh?
Yeah. American Ninja Warrior on NBC.
I think it'll be fine. I don't think it needs it.
Everybody's
got their DVR set.
Yeah.
The only people that it's going to matter for are people who switched providers. If you went from AT&T to Time Warner, that's your only event. Change it. I think that's the only people it's going to matter for.
Did they count the ratings for that? Did they count that?
What about some shout-outs, Nando?
You want me to do the shout-outs?
Yeah. I have some people. I've got my man Langley and Neely. Thank you very much for checking us out and following us. And Stephen B. as well. And Paxson. And Shaft Amsley.
Shaft Amsley.
Shaft's Word. At Shaft's Word. Vanilla Cupcake, of course. I mentioned her 1,000 times. And I don't know. Nando, what else you got?
Well, I'm going to pull up iTunes while you're doing that because the problem is when I do news and go into YouTube, the comments kind of suck.
Well, then also, and then I'll go to Dave 1555, Natural Opinion, Joseph Ortiz, Roberta S. Wait, how to do that? Roberta S. Prinkles?
I guess so. Robot T. Sprinkles.
Robot T. Sprinkles.
That's it. Robot T. Sprinkles.
All right.
Because Robot T. Sprinkles called us out and said, that's how you say my name.
All right. Stable Frequency. We love you.
Someone else gets to mess up names.
I don't know. Lamar Gray, News B. Bird, Lauren Quatt. Is that right? Yes. Thank God. C. Boyle, 78.
Mm-hmm.
D. Scamini. And I don't know.
Siami, I think. Or Siami.
You're going to try to pronounce it?
I don't know.
Right, yeah, that'll be funny.
Let's find out who's right.
What about on iTunes?
What about on iTunes? We got Super P. Penny. And Fraser Street. See, that's how you do it.
Right.
You just say it like
that's
that.
That's it?
That's it. For this week, just those two.
Oh.
I mean, we've had, and they give us five, but we have a whole bunch from last week that I brought up that I mentioned already. Oh, so yeah, I can re-mention them. I'll re-mention them.
All right. And Shelly, of course.
Oh, yeah, Shelly, of course.
And Eloisa and the gang over at Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump into predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Steve Lemieux, I'll let you choose the first person to go for predictions today. If he's
and Joe Sanfilippo.
Oh.
All right, Lemieux. I see how it is. Here's my predictions. Number one, Red is Liz's father. Duh. duh. I'm just saying, duh. Number two, I think that our boy Tom is going to do some crazy stuff. I think our boy Tom, in the first couple episodes of the second half of the season, I think there's going to be a reveal. I think Tom's going to come up with some super secret spy BS, and it's going to be interesting. I think Tom is going to, we're going to come back to Tom. Tom's going to get crazy.
And I've already said that I think that our CIA girl is the mole. And I think we're going to get a lot more out of Alan Alda. I think that, and like I said earlier, I think we're going to find out it's a corporate / government / generally people in power gray area adversary. It's not going to be that cut and dry Bond villain like we just had with Ansel Garrick. I think it's going to be a lot more gray That's interesting.
A lot of predictions.
That's a lot of predict. Well, we're taking some time off
until January.
Maybe one of them will hit.
Exactly.
Just throw darts at a dartboard. Maybe one of them will stick.
Shots fired. That's the shotgun approach.
Yes. Scatter shot predictions. Julia Kearley.
Okay. Well, I did say that I think Malik is the mole. I sort of mentioned already that Alan Alda and his company that he works for is. Somehow, and the secret that Red is keeping is the reason that he left the FBI and went rogue. And also, I'm thinking a little bit about Tom as well. And he, you know, he made in his like two scenes that he had, basically, three. But he says, "Let's get out of here. Let's move. I need to keep you safe, keep us safe, and keep us together." So I think he is desperate to get her out of there because I think he knows who the people are watching them.
Right.
I think they're out to watch Tom, maybe. A little bit more than they're out to watch Lizzie. Right. So he wants to get her cut and run. Get out.
Right. Nando?
Okay. I'm going to make a change in what I said earlier today. I'm going to say I'm going to go with Cooper as the mole.
Really?
Based on the fact that he really fought hard to keep them reinstated in this op. So what better way to keep tabs than to be the mole? So I'm going to go against all of you guys. I'm going to say Cooper is the person. So
I disagree if you want, it's called a prediction. Cooper was very distraught that he lost a dozen people in there, and he seems like I want to believe Cooper. I, unlike Joe Filippo, believe Cooper just as an actor and as a person and as an FBI guy.
As a human being.
My prediction is two things. Number one, I think that Tom will show his stripes possibly in the fall premiere.
I wasn't done with my prediction, by the way. Can I scatter some shots?
Yeah, scatter some shots.
All right, cool. I want to say Tom. Here's what I say. I say Tom is working for a third party.
Yep.
That I'm going to say this. If we said that we thought maybe Red's wife is still alive, I'm going to say he's working for Red's wife to protect Lizzie. And he actually does want to protect Lizzie, but he is obviously not 100% who he is. So there you go.
I never said he was a bad guy.
Okay. Well, I think Tom's a bad guy. Tom's bad. He's dirty. We'll find out. I think he'll show his stripes when we come back in January. I also think that. Alan Alda is not a bad guy per se. I think that he and Red will end up working together to.
He's a bad guy, but he's not bad guy.
Exactly. I don't know what that accent was, but I love it. I think that he will be back, and he will work with Red to do something to take down the super blacklister, who I'm still waiting for because it's not Ansel Garrick and it's not Alan Alda. So we'll find out who he is. That's
boom.
Boom. All right, that's it. That'll do it for us. We will see you back after the holidays. Have a happy holiday, and we'll see you just
January 13th.
We'll miss you.
January 13th. Joe, where can we find you?
At Joe Filippo on the Twitters and josephsanfilippo.com, my website.
Julia.
Twitter, Julia Kearley, JULIACEARLEY. Same with Instagram, Facebook, you know, you can find me.
Yes, and Nando.
You can find me on Twitter at NandoVel, NANDOVEL, and here for some other shows and Geek Nerd Tech with you on Black Hollywood Live.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you can find me on Twitter at Joe K. Braswell and on Instagram at Joe Braswell and with Nando and some other shows, including Geek Nerd Tech. And we love you all. We'll see you in January.
Happy holidays.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.